Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I love how Jesus responds to his disciples. Said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go, I'll go. And he responds, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I get it. I understand. I love the way he responds. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to preach to you just for the next little bit on this title, The Next Step. The Next Step. And you may be seated this morning. Do you remember what it was that you wanted to be when you grew up? Whenever you were in kindergarten or first grade, whenever the teacher would ask you the question, well, Johnny, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was that thing that that you wanted to be? And I'm sure a lot of us, in looking back, we would have a lot of similar answers to that question. For when you are just a little kid, there's really not many career positions that you really know about besides that of a policeman, a fireman, or maybe a doctor. Those are some very quick ones that come to mind. And we'll ask Easton this question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we'll get the same answers. Policeman, a fireman, you know, whatever one of the Paw Patrol guys are doing. That's what I want to do. And we're already getting arrested at our house. He's, if we're walking too fast in the house, we are pulled over and we are questioned and he's already the policeman, you know, he's running around. I want to be the guy that arrests the bad guys. And, Easton has a toy gun and he runs around shooting. I'm like, what are you shooting at? And he's like, bad guys? Duh. And I'm like, just making sure that he's not shooting the good guys, you know. So, and he's already, I was telling Brother Hogan this morning, using words like criminal. I'm waiting on him to bust out like fugitive or something, you know. Because he is into it, man. That's what he wants to be. He's got a set of handcuffs. I mean, he is putting our hands behind our back. We are arrested. And so I was thinking about that. When I was a little kid, I always wanted to become a professional baseball player. I loved baseball. It was my passion. I loved all sports, but baseball was by far my favorite sport. And as soon as I was old enough to play, I started playing. And I wasn't interested in becoming a police officer. I wasn't interested in becoming a fireman. I wasn't interested in becoming a doctor. I wanted to play ball. Amen. And you know, at a young age, none of us think that becoming a professional at anything would be hard. Whenever we are young, we think that the only thing that's keeping me from becoming that is I'm not big enough yet. I am not grown up yet. I haven't got to that stage in my life. You know, when we're young, we think that's the only thing that's keeping us from becoming something. But there is a process. Everything in life has a process. And I don't remember playing T-ball, but I do know that that's where most kids start out. In fact, we almost signed Easton up for T-ball this year, but I just didn't want to spend the money for him to stand out in the outfield and chase frogs. That was just like he can do that in the backyard. And so next year, whenever he's a little more advanced and I've worked with him for a year, we're going to sign him up, definitely. But that's where most kids start out, is they play T-ball. And that they put the ball on the tee and they swing as hard as they can and they hit it and they sort of run the bases. Sort of. Some kids will run to third instead of going to first, and some kids will just hit it and then just kick dirt all the way to first. You know, that's just what it is. It's T-ball. And then you grow a little and then move up to coach pitch. Has anybody ever played coach pitch out there? Anybody ever coached a team where it was coach pits? Anybody want to respond to me and know exactly what I'm talking about this morning? Coach pitch. And this was an incredible moment in my life. Amen. I excelled at this level. Coach pitch. And as I was preparing my notes and I thought about that, of course I excelled at this. My coach was the pitcher. He's not up there trying to get me out. He's not up there strategizing with the catcher. He's like, hey, Bryce here, he sits on the fastballs. I'm not going to give him any fastballs. I'm going to give him some changeup, maybe some curveballs, and we're going to see if we can get him out and lose this game. No, it was my coach that was pitching to me. I was 5 years old. He's just laying it right in there for me to just smack it as hard as I possibly could. But I didn't know that as a kid. I'm like, man, the only thing I knew what was going on is that I was going to be a professional when I grew up. And at 5 years old, that's all I thought about. I'm going to be a professional ball player. My coach is going to pitch to me forever. And all I really know is that my mom is going to give me a cinnamon pancake for every home run that I hit over that 50-foot fence. Every home run I hit, I was promised a cinnamon pancake. And if you've never had a cinnamon pancake, you don't know what you're missing. And let me tell you, I was the home run king that year in Little League. Why? Cinnamon pancakes. Whatever we got to do to bribe you, Bryce, you're going to be great at this sport. You're going to love this sport. I was the home run king at coach pitch. But it's a process. When we grow up, we keep getting older, and soon I moved up to where the players then pitch to you. We had to pitch to the other team. Then we keep growing. Now we can steal second base and third base and home plate if we want to. And pitchers' fastballs, they keep getting faster. And yes, it's possible in this stage to get hit with a ball when you're up at the plate. It's possible to get thrown out of the game if you give the umpire a little attitude. But that's it. It's a process. We grow up. We keep getting older. Our skill levels keep growing. We keep taking steps. Or we should be. Can you imagine a guy my size still out there playing coach pitch? Can you imagine me standing up to the plate? Bring it in, coach. Lay it in here. My mom says I get a pancake if I hit it over that 50-foot fence. No, that's not how it happens. Why? Because it's a process. We keep growing. We keep advancing. We keep taking the next step. Obviously, I did not become a professional baseball player. I still love the game, but God had very different plans for me. But as I was thinking about this whole process, I was thinking about how as a kid we have these goals, we have these dreams and ambitions. And as a kid, we think that the only thing that's not allowing us to be that cop, and the only thing that's not allowing us to be that fireman or doctor or professional baseball player is because we have to wait until we grow up. We need to grow a little more before we can become that. And while that has some truth to it, just because we get older or we become of age, we think sometimes that that's when the jobs are just handed to us. That's when things begin to happen life, because we are of age now, because I am old enough. I know that holds some truth this morning, but that is not the only reason. Things aren't just handed to you because we are taller. Things aren't just handed to us because we are older, but there is a process that happens. We have to grow, we have to advance, and we have to continue taking steps. We have to continue. Growth is so key to every area in our life, whether that be of our profession, whether that be of our relationships, whether that be as us as parents. Growth is so important. Growth is the goal. The word growth, it refers to a positive change in size and or maturation. Often over a period of time, growth can occur as a stage of maturation. As you mature, it's a process towards fullness or fulfillment. Human development is a lifelong process of physical behavior, cognitive and emotional growth and change. In the early stages of life, from babyhood to childhood, childhood to adolescence, and adolescence to adulthood, enormous changes take place. Throughout the process, each person develops attitudes and we develop values that guide choices and relationships and our understanding. Just as important as it is for us to mature physically. Because it is important that we keep growing. It's important that we keep growing and maturing ourselves. We keep growing in our relationships and we keep growing on our jobs. Growth should not stop once we get the job. Growth should not stop once we get that title. It should not stop once we become parents. But we should seek to be the best that we can be in whatever road life takes us on. But just as it is important to grow in those areas, I believe it is even more important to be growing as a Christian. I believe it's more important for me to keep maturing as a follower of Jesus Christ. Just because I've got the Holy Ghost and been baptized in His name, that shouldn't give me the right to just lay down my cross. That doesn't give me the right to just live however I want. That doesn't give me the right to pull out the lazy boy, the spiritual lazy boy, and just ease into a spiritual retirement. But I've got to keep growing. I've got to keep taking steps. I've got to take the next step. I must keep growing in Jesus Christ. I must keep walking. It's not time to give up. It's not time to quit. But I want to be a better Christian than I was yesterday. I want to be a better follower than I was yesterday. I want to be a better Christ-like example than I was yesterday. I want to know more about Him today than what I knew last week. You see, there will be times in your life when Satan will present you with an off-ramp. He'll present you with an exit as you're traveling down this road of life. There will be times in life when the enemy wheels out the recliner and says, here, take a seat. You've made it. You have arrived. But friends, there is no finish line until we stand before Him. There is no finish line until we walk through those pearly gates. There is no finish line until we have gold underneath our feet. There is no finish line until we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no finish line until then. And in order for me to get there, in order for me to have that and possess it, I've got to keep growing. I've got to keep walking. I've got to keep taking steps. Has any one of you ever fallen out of bed? Kind of a weird question in the middle of a sermon. Thanks for responding. Thanks for helping me out this morning. Yes, falling out of bed. It happens. It's happened to me on a number of occasions. Can't say here recently or anything. If it has, I was in my sleep and I simply just got back in bed. I have been guilty of, you know, Easton being under my watch and him falling out the bed. Sorry. It happened. Don't act like you haven't let your kid fall out of bed before. But thank you, Brother Gary. But yes, falling out of bed, it's one of the wildest feelings ever. You're in your sleep and all of a sudden just bang! Hello! Good morning! You know, I can remember, you know, playing softball all day on Saturdays and just the next morning I am just can't walk, can't move, can't do anything. And the only way to get out of bed is simply roll out and fall face first on the floor because that's the only way to get out of bed. I can't move. But falling out of bed, it happens. It's kind of a crazy a thing. It's a wild feeling. It can happen for a number of different reasons. Having an intense dream, driving fast in a car, running from the policeman. And if you have a policeman in your house like we do, you have those kinds of dreams where you are running from a cop and all of a sudden, you know, he's behind you and you're just driving as fast as you can. You make one sharp turn and the car just pivots you out and out the bed you fall. Dream over! Arm broken. That happens. I read this story one time, and in that story, there was this little boy who had fallen out of his bed, and his mom ran in to check and make sure that he was okay, and when she asked him what happened, he answered, he said this. He said, I don't really know what happened. He said, the only thing I can guess is that I stayed too close to where I got in. I stayed too close to where I got in. How easy it is for us to do that with our faith.
It's tempting to just stay where we are when we got in and never move. How tempting it is for us to get that Bible study, to get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and then find our place in the pews and stay there. But church, growth should be the goal of every Christian. Taking the next step should be the goal of every Christian. Maturity is not an option. It is mandatory. I can't stay the same. I can't just remain until it comes. But I've got to grow. I've got to mature. I've got to pick up my cross, but not just pick it up. I've got to pick it up daily, the Bible says, and follow Him. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord this morning? It's not an option. We don't get to just add it as an accessory, but we've got to. We must follow and keep taking steps. If a child ceased to develop, his parents would be concerned. There would be doctors that would be called. There would be hospital visits that would be scheduled if a child ceased developing, if he ceased growing. When a child stops growing, we as parents and human beings say something there is wrong. And when a Christian stops growing, I'm here to preach to you this morning that help is needed. Because if you're the same Christian today that you were last year, please be careful. Please heed to these words this morning. You've got to keep growing. Because living for Jesus is an adventure, and it's the best adventure you'll ever take in your entire life. It's the best adventure you could ever choose to take, but this is what it is. It's a daily adventure. It's a daily walk. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Steps! It is a daily thing. We've got to keep moving. We've got to keep growing. Let me encourage you today. Keep taking steps. Keep walking. Keep learning. Allow the Holy Ghost to keep leading you into all truth. Allow that Spirit of God to direct your path. Amen. That is what the Holy Ghost is there for. It is the power that you need in order to overcome sin. It is the power that you need in order to make it on a daily basis. You know, sometimes we try to live from Sunday to Wednesday and from Wednesday to Sunday. Church, it doesn't have to be that way. You can live for God and follow Him on a Monday. You can live for God and follow Him on a Thursday. It's a daily thing. Keep growing. Keep taking the next step. Sometimes we think that receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is our ultimate goal. I'm not trying to mess with anybody here this morning, but sometimes we view the Holy Ghost as the ultimate goal. That is the finish line. That sometimes in our view, we're guilty of it. That once we get it, that's it. We're finished. We have reached the top. We have crossed the finish line. Do you realize that every letter that was written to the church after the book of Acts was written to people who already had the Holy Ghost? It was written to people who already had an upper room experience. They had already spoken other tongues. They had already experienced the gift that God had promised. Amen. They were written to people that already had it. If the Holy Ghost was the finish line, then why would the writers waste their time? Why would they spend so much time and energy after the Holy Ghost had fallen? I'll tell you why. Because there's more. God has more for you. I love the Holy Ghost, and we should all experience the Holy Ghost. But that is not the finish line. You've got to keep walking. Clap your hands unto the Lord this morning. There is more that God has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't get me wrong this morning. Don't say, Brother Bryce said, we don't have to have the Holy Ghost, that there's more that God has. That's not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand me, please. The Holy Ghost is essential. Everybody say essential. We understand what essential means. It is essential. Amen. It is important and necessary. The Bible says you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Amen. In order to see the kingdom of God. That's what He told Nicodemus in John 3. The Holy Ghost is not an option. We shouldn't treat the Holy Ghost as a pair of sunglasses that maybe we'll wear them today, maybe not. You know, I don't have to, but if I want to, that's cool too. That's not how we view the Holy Ghost. Okay, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. I had a conversation with a gentleman just here in the last couple weeks, and we were talking about baptism in Jesus' name, and he doesn't believe in baptism in Jesus' name. He doesn't believe in the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in other tongues. And we had a great conversation, and it ran really smoothly, and we brought up John chapter 3, and he asked me this. He said, so do you believe that you gotta have, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not going to heaven? And I simply said, what is your definition of born again of the Spirit that is found in John 3? What is your definition of born again of the Spirit that is found in John chapter 3? And he said this, he said, no, I agree with you. I agree that you've got to have the Holy Ghost. There was just a difference on how you get the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you, the Holy Ghost, there is a sign. There is something that happens on the outside of you. There is an evidence that is unmistakable. There is an evidence that the Bible says even a magician, whenever he seen it, he wanted to purchase it with his own money, because it was more than tears. It was more than a goosebump. It was so much more than that. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. That is essential. You must. But church, that is not the finish line. That is not the ultimate goal. It's important, but there is so much more. So much more. The Holy Ghost is not the finish line, but it is this. It is the doorway. It is the doorway that you walk through to get to everything else. Amen. Most of you, let me say this. We all must walk through that doorway. We all must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Our goal is growth. Our goal is the next step. Keep moving. Most of you know that I worked at Lowe's down in Carbondale. Most of you know that, but maybe some of you don't in here. I worked for Lowe's down in Carbondale for almost 10 years. And loved my job, loved the people, loved everybody there, loved what I did. It was a fun job, but I worked down there for almost 10 years, and I started out as a part-time associate. And I worked in the lumber department. Awesome. This is where they put the simple people, I guess. Here's a board, load it on a cart, put it in their car. Got it. Done. So that's where I started out at. And I worked 20 hours a week, and they stretched that 20 hours across 4 to 5 days. Yes, driving 45 minutes for a 4 or a 5 hour shift. Thank you, Jesus. But I loved working there. And the people were awesome. And it wasn't too long after I started, opportunities began to present themselves for me to go full time. And I was 18 or 19 at the time. A job came open for a commercial sales associate job. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And somebody said, amen. Monday through Friday, 18 or 19 years old. Are you kidding me? No way. I was so excited about this. Not only was I going to be able to go full time, but I was able to take on all those hours and still be able to go to church. How many know that's possible today? Amen. I was still able to be in the house of the Lord, which was where I wanted to be. But my job consisted of assisting the commercial sales specialist for whatever they needed. These specialists, they're the ones that do the estimates for people. They're the ones that look at a set of blueprints and they say, hey, you need this many blocks, you need this much mortar, you need this many studs, you need this many shingles, all that cool stuff. Contractors, they dealt with contractors and property managers and homeowners, and they would do all of this cool stuff and figure out material and take on a new home for somebody and figure it up, and they could tell you how much a deck was going to cost. And then I would have to go, then they would figure out the deck and how much it was going to take, and then I would go pull it. And then I would still load it in their car. I thought I was out of the lumber department. What's going on here? And so that was my job. Whatever they did, whatever they said, that's what I went and did. And I was okay with it because that was my job. That's what I was put there to do. But I wanted more. I wanted more of a responsibility. I wanted to be a specialist. I wanted to figure up houses for people. I wanted to help people. I wanted to be a salesman. I wanted to make more money. And all those other things too. Don't get me wrong here. So here's what I did. I just started learning. I did everything I could to gain as much knowledge as I could. I would hover over people's shoulders and pull them aside and have them show me something. Hey, how do you do this? How do you figure this up? What's the formula that I use to figure up how many shingles this person needs? And when a customer came to the counter, I didn't say, oh, let me get you a specialist. They'll be able to help you. No, I stood there and I tried to help them. And I tried to help them for as long as I possibly could. And when it finally came to something I didn't know, then I went and got a specialist. Then I went and got somebody to say, man, you're going to have to help me. I'm about to burn these people's house down because they're asking me about electrical stuff. And trust me, when you came up to my desk and asked me about electrical, I said, I was 1, 2, and 3. Somebody be down there to help you because I will burn your house down. I don't know what kind of wire you need. And so that's what I did. I tried to do as much as I could. But before long, I wasn't needing to go get someone else. I wasn't needing to page a specialist to the desk. I was the one helping. I was the one doing the job of a specialist. Didn't have the title. Didn't have the pay. But none of that mattered at the time. And before I knew it, there I was in the store manager's office interviewing for the job of a commercial sales specialist. And you know what? I got it. Why? Why did I get it? Because I was already doing the job. I didn't stop taking steps. I didn't stop growing. I didn't stop trying to excel in my position. But I wanted what there was to be had. I wanted more. Let me just say this morning. You don't wait to become something before you start performing. You become something because you're already performing. Because you have continued taking steps. Because you have continued to grow. Because you have said, I'm not satisfied. I've got to have more. You don't wait until you have your minister's license before you start ministering to somebody. It's true. That does not just say, hey, now you're allowed to minister to somebody. No, you're ministering long before that day ever comes. You don't wait until you're a youth pastor before you get a burden for young people and you try to help them and minister to their lives. You don't wait until you get the job of a Sunday school teacher before you have a burden for young people, before you have a burden to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have that long before you ever get the title. Long before you ever have the job. But it comes to those that are continuing to grow. Those that didn't stop at the doorway, but they kept on moving. They kept on progressing and moving forward. It's the ones that had the attitude of, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at today. Whether that be in your professional career, whether that be in your spiritual life. I hope that it would be both. I hope that it would be more of the spiritual than that of the physical. Because our soul will live on past this life. How many know this life is just the appetizer for what is to come? Amen. I want to make sure that I'm growing on the inside. I want to make sure that I'm taking the steps that are so important. I'm not satisfied with being the same Christian as I was last year, last week, or just yesterday. But I want more of Him. I need more of Him. I want to be closer to Him today than I was yesterday. I want to know more about Him today than I did yesterday. There's a song that was made popular a couple years ago, I think it was, and lyrics go like this. All we want and all we need is found in Jesus. All we ask is more of you. Nothing else can satisfy our heart's desire. All we want is more of you. As our music comes this morning, I want more of Him. Church, nothing else is going to be able to satisfy like Jesus can satisfy. I need more of Him. I know I'm not standing before you a 70-year-old pastor or 70-year-old preacher that has been through the ups and the downs and has been through so much life that he could write a book. I don't stand before you, but can I tell you, I have been around long enough to tell you that Jesus is the only thing in this life that will fulfill. Jesus is the only thing in this life that will satisfy. I don't know what you're chasing. I don't know what you're stepping after this morning, but I'm in the Holy Ghost right now, and I'm telling you, he is the only thing that can fulfill the longing in your heart. But you got to keep growing. You got to keep stepping. Got to keep walking. Moses, he had seen God do so many miraculous things. He heard the voice of the Lord come from a bush that was on fire but would not burn. He was there when the Red Sea parted and they walked through on dry ground. He's seen the water turned into blood. The changing of a walking staff into a snake. The turning of a hand to a leprous and then back to being a healthy hand. He struck the rock and watched as water began to flow from it. So many wonderful things that Moses witnessed. So many wonderful miracles and seen the power of God demonstrated right before his very eyes. And yet we find him in Exodus 33 and 18. We find Moses begging God. He's begging God, please show me your glory. And you're like, what? What? What are you talking about, Moses? What did he just say? Moses, you have seen all of these wonderful things. You have witnessed so many miracles and so many powerful things. But Moses had that attitude. He said, I'm not satisfied, but I want more. And I pray that that be our desire, church. I pray that that be our passion. Lord, we're not satisfied. I want more of you. I want to grow. I want to keep taking steps. We're not satisfied with where we are. We're not going to settle for just the ordinary when we know that you're the God of the extraordinary. Oh, I know we've seen God do many great things. We've witnessed great things in our altar. We've witnessed great things outside of the church. Some of you, if we opened up for testimony service, you can stand and say what God has done on your behalf. You could give an incredible praise report. You've been delivered. Some of you here have been healed. You've watched as God has turned a bad situation in your life into a testimony and a praise report. But that does not give us the right to settle in. That does not. We can't afford to sit back and say, well, God's already moved. God's already touched. God's already blessed. God's already poured it out. I've had my prayer answered. I got my healing. But we've got to keep growing. We've got to go to the next step. God is still wanting to move. God is still wanting to heal. He's still wanting to show His glory. He's waiting on somebody who's hungry for it. He's waiting on somebody who's thirsty for it. He's waiting on somebody to ask. He's waiting on somebody to take the next step. And I pray, Lord, let that be me this morning. Lord, let me take the next step. Would you stand with me this morning? When I became the specialist at Lowe's, man, I felt like I was really something. I got a new name tag, and when you work in retail, name tags are everything. They are everything. I got a new name tag that no longer said sales associate, but it now read commercial sales specialist. Specialist. I was important. I was the big shot, or so I thought. You see, in Lowe's land, being a specialist was really a big deal. But here's the thing I want to point out to you. After I became the specialist, after I officially had the title and the pay that came too, I didn't stop learning. I didn't stop helping. I didn't stop selling. I didn't all of a sudden become a know-it-all. In fact, there was so much more that was brought to my attention that I didn't even have a clue about. But I continued to grow. I continued to learn more. I still had to go through trainings. I still had to go to seminars to learn about new product and new procedures. I still had to perform. Getting the position wasn't the stopping point. It wasn't the exit. It wasn't the off-ramp to the Lazy Boy. It wasn't the finish line, but it was the beginning. Listen, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, growth is your goal. Maturing as a Christian is your prerogative. Drawing closer to Him today than you were yesterday is your goal. If I had stopped performing after I had the job, if I just settled in and said, hey, I got the position, now I can just take it easy, now I can slow down, I don't have to learn anymore, I don't have to better myself anymore, I know enough, you know what would have happened? I would have gotten fired. I would have been let go. Don't worry, we're not firing any saints today. But we must do everything in our power to not let this become our story. As Christians, we can't just settle in and say, I've got all of God that I need. I'm satisfied. I'm good. I've been baptized in His name and I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to find my pew and clock in and clock out, so to speak. When you stop growing and you stop learning, that's exactly how you'll view church. I just go and I clock in and I clock out. I go and I put my time in. I'm glad you got the Holy Ghost. I'm glad you've been baptized in His name, but we've got to understand there's more. That's not the finish line. We have to grow. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, if they are growing, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and listen to this, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I'm nervous this morning that some of us has stopped growing. I'm nervous this morning that some of us have become satisfied with just coming to church, sitting on a pew, and getting another day older. Church, I'm not interested in running out the clock. I'm not interested in living on last year's blessings. Oh, I thank God for what He's done. I thank God for what He's doing in this church. But I can't live on that. I can stand and give a testimony and draw strength from it, yes, but I've got to keep moving. I've got to keep taking steps forward. I've got to keep drawing closer to Him. Why do we think the windshield is so much bigger than the rearview mirror? Because what's in front of you is so much more important than what's behind you. Where are you stepping this morning? What is your next step? Are you even taking a step? You know that scripture that us preachers use and we quote it so eloquently that you don't really understand the blow that it delivers? You remember that scripture? Man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And everyone goes, ooh, I like that scripture. Man, that's gonna be my verse of the year. I'm gonna write it on my calendar. Man plans his ways, but God directs his steps. Listen to it. Man plans his way, and then God butts in and directs his steps. Isn't it crazy? We're focused on plans. What's God focused on? Steps. Steps. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. Steps. I ask you this morning, where are you stepping? Where are you headed? Are you growing? Are you still taking steps? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The steps. And can I tell you, these are the surest steps you could ever take in your entire life. These are the surest steps that you can take. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Ask yourself this question, what is my next step? Am I still moving? Am I still growing? Or have I just planted myself right here and just said, I've got all that I need? I don't need anything else. I don't want anything else. Have we become so satisfied? Have we become so settled in that we have literally kicked up our feet and allowed just everyone else to take over, allowed everyone else to get a blessing, allowed everyone else to keep moving? What is our prerogative? What are we doing? We are in the process of life. Everything is a process, but where are we headed? What are we doing? Are we growing? Are we moving in Christ? Fathers, this morning, are we still growing? Are we still moving? Are we still learning? Are we still advancing and taking the next step? For that is leading our family. Our family looks on for us to grow. Our family looks on for us to mature. Are we still growing? As they begin to sing this morning, I want to invite you down to this altar. And I know this morning that coming to this altar, you're going to have to take steps. You're going to have to physically take steps. But can I tell you, spiritually speaking, they are giant steps whenever you say, I got to be closer to Him. This altar's open this morning.